What is the key to serving the Savior? I believe the key to serving the Savior is staying focused. And staying focused is one of the most difficult things to do. I work with a man who is a foreman, and he's a pretty good foreman at that. He really knows what he's doing. He knows what has to be done. He's been doing it a very long time. But there are times that he can run around like a chicken with his head cut off. It's funny in a way, but as we are working, he will have us do those things that are needed. He'll give us a couple things at a time sometimes and say that I need you to do this, and then after that I'd like you to do this. Then all of a sudden the owner of the company comes onto the job site and here he goes, rambling. I need this, this, that, this. And he's just all over the place and he loses his focus. He will do the same thing if the owner comes up to him in the beginning of the morning and he lays out what he would like to have done and his expectations of what should be done. John will start to panic. It's kind of like what college kids call syllabus shock. And he says, I don't think we can get all this done. And he'll start going in all these different directions, rambling all these different things. And it's funny because sometimes he'll put the last things first and the first things last. And I'll have to rail him in. I'll say, it's okay, John. We can do this. Just focus. One thing at a time. We'll get this done. Many times as servants of the Savior, we tend to lose focus of that which is important. This morning we are going to look at the feeding of the 5,000 and focus on some things the Lord thought were important. Mark chapter 6, looking at verses 30 through 44. Then the apostles gathered to Jesus and told him all things, both what they had done and what they had taught. And he said to them, come aside by yourselves to a deserted place and rest a while. For there were many coming and going, and they did not even have time to eat. So they departed to a deserted place and the boat by themselves. Both the multitude saw them departing, and many knew him and ran there on foot from all the cities. They arrived before them and came together to him. And Jesus, when he came out, saw a great multitude and was moved with compassion for them. And because they were like sheep having no shepherd, so he began to teach them many things. When the day was now far spent, his disciples came to him and said, this is a deserted place, and already the hour is late. Send them away that they may go into the surrounding country and villages and buy themselves bread, for they have nothing to eat. But he answered and said to them, you give them something to eat. And they said to him, shall we go and buy 200 denarii worth of bread and give them something to eat? But he said to them, how many loaves do you have? Go and see. And when they found out, they said, 5 and 2 fish. Then he commanded them to make them all sit down in groups on the green grass. So they sat down in ranks, in hundreds and in fifties. And when he had taken the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, he looked up to heaven, blessed and broke the loaves, and gave them to the disciples to set before them. And the 2 fish he divided among them all. So they all ate and were filled. And they took up 12 baskets full of fragments and of the fish. Now those who had eaten the loaves were about 5,000 men. The first thing we see a servant of the Savior needs to do is rest. If you don't get your rest, it will be impossible to stay focused. Look again, if you will, at verses 30 through 32. Then the apostles gathered to Jesus and told him all things, both what they had done and what they had taught. And he said to them, come aside by yourself to a deserted place and rest a while. For there were many coming and going, and they did not even have time to eat. So they departed to a deserted place in the boat by themselves. In verse 7, we saw that Jesus sent out the 12 to cast out demons, to heal the sick, and to preach repentance to the surrounding region. I am not sure how long at this point they were gone. They come back from their mission trip and start telling Jesus all that has happened. They come back from all the work they'd done and I'm sure exhausted. And what we read between the lines is what amazes me most. Jesus is listening to all that went on and he says, wow. It sounds like you guys were extremely busy, and I'm sure you could really use some rest. So why don't we just get into this boat, and we'll go over to Bethsaida and get some rest? I've known a lot of Christians who have devoted their lives to Christ and to the church, and I can't recall any of them that have burned themselves out for the service of Christ. What I find in our culture today is that a lot of people are getting really tired, but not as a result of serving Christ in the church, but as a result of being so busy with so many other things. Listen to Hebrews 12:1. Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. What I find interesting about this verse is that what the writer is saying is that our walk, we need to have a walk that isn't being weighed down by all these extra things. Don't have all those extra things be a hindrance to our walk. Let us lay aside every weight. So this weight is not a sin, but everything that is going to interfere with our walk with Christ, with our endurance for the race. We need to put those things aside. Many times we tend to get tired or worn down, but if we are honest, it isn't as a result of serving the Lord. It may be from working all those extra hours so that we can have all those extra toys, or so that we can have those fringe benefits that life has to offer. It could be from being involved in too many activities and spreading ourselves thin. When we get involved with all these things that weigh us down, we would have to say that we have lost our focus. But what about the times we do get tired as a result of serving the Lord? And there are times that we get tired. Jesus said in verse 31, come aside by yourselves to a deserted place and rest a while. Jesus isn't talking about taking some prolonged vacation. What Jesus is saying is, let us step aside from the hustle and bustle of life. Let us come together in a quiet, secluded place and gather ourselves. The end of verse 31 says, for there were many coming and going, and they didn't even have time to eat. Which I think it makes it pretty evident that what he's talking about is just grabbing a little bit of time. We may say something like, let us kick up our feet and relax a bit. Don't even put on the television. Don't have any distractions. Sometimes moms will want to get out of the house, and I say this from experience, not that I'm a mother, but I am married to one. And she says, I'm going to the store. And the kids will say, or at least one of them, can I go? And she says, I think I'm just going to go by myself this time. She just wants a little bit of peace and quiet. Something I like to do is go into the woods, far enough from human activity, where it's just peaceful. Maybe you hear the ruffling of the leaves from a squirrel. If you're lucky, you may see a deer or a fox. If you're real lucky, you'll find a little stream that's sitting in the woods where there's no one around. And I like to go into those places and just be quiet, reflect, and talk to the Lord. And it is this that Jesus is speaking of when he spoke with his disciples. Let us get away from this for a while. Let us go away and reflect on what's being done. But let us just relax, let us rest our minds, let us rest our bodies so that we can catch our second wind and start all over again. The first thing a servant must do is rest. Without rest, you will lose focus. The second thing a servant must do is focus on teaching. Look, if you will, at verses 33 and 34. But the multitude saw them departing, and many knew him and ran there on foot from all the cities. They ran across around the edge on the beach, and they were trying to catch up and see where Jesus was going. They arrived before them and came together to him. And Jesus, when he came out, saw a great multitude and was moved with compassion for them because they were like sheep not having a shepherd. So he began to teach them many things. There are two primary focuses of the servant of the Savior. And one of the primary purposes is to teach. The other is to learn, and we'll get to that. Mark writes this gospel with the purpose of portraying Jesus Christ as the ultimate servant. The ultimate servant. Mark chapter 10, 25. For Christ did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life a ransom for many. Mark's purpose was to present Jesus to the Romans as a perfect servant. And here we see Christ perfect as a perfect servant. He was moved with compassion for them, because they were like sheep not having a shepherd. So he began to teach them many things. You know, a lot of people, when they see this passage and they think of Jesus' compassion, they say something along these lines. Jesus was moved with compassion, so he sat them down or had them seated in hundreds and fifties and began to feed them dinner. But this isn't what it says. Jesus' compassion for the people wasn't their physical welfare, but their spiritual welfare. I know this isn't popular with a lot of evangelical Christians today, but I'm not trying to be popular. I'm trying to be precise with the handling of the Word of God. If I am going to believe something, teach something, say something, have a conversation with someone, I want to make sure that what I am saying is accurate with the Word. The reason why I know this isn't what it's saying is because this is what the context says. This is exactly what the passage says, that he got out and he started to teach. The second reason is this. Jesus spells it out for them and for us in John chapter 6, verses 22 through 27. And this is after, this isn't the same account, it's after this, but not long after. On the following day, the day after we're looking at this morning, on the following day when the people who were standing on the other side of the sea saw that there was no other boat there except the one which his disciples had entered, and that Jesus had not entered the boat with his disciples, but his disciples had gone away alone. However, other boats came from Tiberias near the place where they ate bread after the Lord had given thanks. That's speaking of where we are now. When the people therefore saw that Jesus was not there, nor his disciples, they also got into boats and came to Capernaum, seeking Jesus. And when they found him on the other side of the sea, they said to him, "Rabbi, when did you come here?" Now listen to what Jesus says in regards to what they're seeking, what they think is a need, compared to what Jesus saw as a need. Jesus answered them and said, "Most assuredly, I say to you, you seek me not because you saw the signs," which would have revealed who he was, "because you saw the signs, but because you ate of the loaves and were filled. Do not labor for the food which perishes, but for the food which endures to everlasting life, which the Son of Man will give you, because God the Father has set his seal on him." In verse 34, it says that Jesus began to teach them. But what did he teach them? Mark doesn't record what it teaches in this context, but Luke does. Luke 9:11, same account as Mark 6. "But when the multitudes knew it, they followed him, and he received them and spoke to them about the kingdom of God." When Jesus had compassion for these people as sheep who had no shepherd, they were sheep who had no direction. It wasn't that they didn't have the food, although many didn't. When it spoke of being poor in that day, it was so poor that if you didn't eat another meal, you died. So poverty and being hungry wasn't an issue or was an issue that was pertinent in its day. But what Jesus says here is that he saw and had compassion on people because they were like sheep having no shepherd. They were walking around aimlessly. They didn't know where they were going. Mark 1:38, "But he said to them, 'Let us go into the next towns that I may preach there also, because for this reason I have come.'" Why did he come? To give them guidance, to give us guidance. But he was offering Israel the kingdom, and he came feeding them with the Word of God so that they would know where to go. He wasn't interested in filling their stomachs. It's not that Jesus didn't care whether people ate or not, but the purpose that Jesus came was to preach the gospel. John 12:37 says this in regards to the people who saw these miracles. "But although he had done so many signs before them, they did not believe in him." They did not believe in him. They walked away with full bellies, with an empty soul. Many today are more concerned about people's physical needs more than they are the spiritual needs. But here's the question. Parents, are you willing to teach what isn't popular today and have your children be mad at you? Are you more concerned that your children like you? How about the rest of you? How about those of you who have friends and you find them doing something that they shouldn't? Are you more interested in their spiritual well-being, or are you more interested in having them like you? Are you afraid to say what needs to be said? Or are you more concerned that they'll come over tomorrow and you can hang out tomorrow? 2 Timothy 3:16 says, "Thus all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped, prepared for every good work." The word complete means to be mature, to be more like Christ. Jesus came preaching repentance and he just finished sending out the 12 to do the same. Every single Christian is responsible to teach other Christians about Christ and his church. Every single Christian is responsible to teach others the need to live for the Savior. Am I my brother's keeper? Absolutely. That's not popular today either. Ephesians 4:13, "Till we all come to the full unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect, to a mature man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ." We are to continuously teach our brothers and sisters until they come, to help aid them to become more like Jesus Christ. The end of Ephesians 4:16 says this, "By which every part does its share, causes growth to the body for the edifying of itself in love." Every person, I know this isn't new to you, but every person is responsible for the teaching and the equipping of the saints to help them grow to the full stature of Jesus Christ. Am I my brother's keeper? Absolutely. Titus 2 says that older men and older women are to teach younger men and younger women. Husbands are responsible for leading and teaching their wives in the Word. 1 Corinthians 14:35 and Ephesians 5:26. Fathers are to bring their children up in the training and admonition of the Lord. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 4. A servant must focus on teaching. Every one of us is a teacher. Do you have the gift of teaching? Maybe not. But it doesn't mean that you're not responsible to teach. You are responsible to teach at least one person. Whether it's someone who is coming up in the faith, whether it's your children, whether it's your wife, we're all responsible to teach. But we must be focused as servants of Christ in teaching. A servant must rest. A servant must focus on teaching. And a servant must focus on learning. Have we arrived in our comprehension of the width, length, and depth, and height of God? Remember the prayer of Paul? His prayer was that for those of us who are Christians, that we may know Him. Everything about Him. That was Paul's prayer. How about this? Have we mastered our walk in the Lord? And the answer to both of those questions is no. We haven't. We haven't arrived. We will never arrive on this side of heaven. So are we teachable? The rest of this passage in Mark tells us about the feeding of the 5,000. And if Mark were the only account, we wouldn't really know why Jesus fed the 5,000. But Mark isn't the only account. John gives us a better understanding of why Jesus fed this massive group. So if you would, turn to John chapter 6. John chapter 6. Same account. Again, it's the same account. And there's a purpose. Jesus always has a purpose for doing what he does. John chapter 6, 14. "Then those men," speaking of the disciples, "when they had seen the sign that Jesus did, said, 'This is truly the prophet who is to come into the world.'" You know, the other people were just sitting down. And personally, I can't see how they wouldn't have known it was a miracle. This is how it would have happened. Jesus says, and he really says to Andrew and Philip, I believe, but he says, "Go and find out what we have." Now here's 5,000 people. Really, there's probably closer to 15,000 people because there were women and children as well. But there were at least 5,000 people. That's a lot of people. So there's 12 of them, and they're going through the crowd and saying, "Hey, do you have any food? that we can just gather together and we're going to just share this? Do you have any food? Nope, 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 nope. So Andrew comes back and he says, well, Lord, I mean, we did find some food, and there's 5 loaves and 2 fish. So all these people that heard the 12 go around asking them if they had food or not would have been aware that there wasn't that much food. So they should have seen or known that this was a miracle. But I believe that it's talking about the disciples, because the disciples absolutely knew what they had for food. And so they come back and they said, there's 12. And so these people, after they're done delivering the food, they come back with 12 full baskets full. I mean, everybody is full to the max. This is what one person said in regards to the amount of food that it would have taken. 2 denarii is a whole day's wage. A whole day's or a whole year's? I think it was a whole day's wage. Now I'm lost. Look that one up if you want to. But it is, you work a long time, you have to feed. I think it's a year's wage. It is, because there's no way a day's wage would have paid for 5,000 people to eat. It's a year's wage. So a person would have had to have worked for a whole year to pay for all this food. And he says this, it would have been enough food for everyone to get a little bite. It says when these people received their baskets back, when the disciples took their baskets back, they were full of food and the people were full. So the disciples saw this miracle and they praised God for it. Although these men dropped everything to follow Jesus in the beginning of their ministry, they still had to be convinced of who Jesus was. By this time, and I don't know how long they've been serving with the Lord, but at least 2 years. Another thing that's interesting is at this point, Peter still hasn't proclaimed that Jesus was the Christ, the Son of the living God, in Matthew chapter 16. So Jesus is still working with these people, and he's trying to get them to understand what is taking place, and that Jesus Christ, or Jesus, is really the Christ. And what is really interesting about the need to continuously teach them this truth is the fact that they fled when Jesus was taken captive. When Jesus was taken prisoner to stand trial, they all left, and to them, their hopes were dashed. There are many Christians today that have stopped learning. 80% of Christians do not read their Bibles on a weekly basis. The majority of Christians have never read their Bible from cover to cover. Memorizing Scripture is a lost art. A lot of Christians say that they know what they believe, but they cannot back up what it is they say they believe with Scripture. Many today just aren't teachable. You have heard the saying, you can't teach an old dog new tricks. And it is true, the older you get, the harder it is to teach them. Also, the harder it is to accept something that may contradict that which you have believed for so long. But I have found that it's not really only the older people that have a hard time being taught. Younger people do as well. And I believe that younger people have a harder time accepting what it is because they have grown up or they have become accustomed to think that that's just back in that day, or that's old, or that's not relevant for today, or times have changed. But the truth of the matter is that the Scriptures, although culture changes, the Scriptures do not. What was applicable for Jesus or for the disciples is still applicable for us today. Folks, if we are going to be Christ's disciples, which means we are going to be His servants, then we need to be teachable. We need to be found in the Word on a daily basis. We need to take advantage of the technology of today. Plug in the MP3s or whatever other technical devices we have. We need to watch videos that educate us concerning Christ and His church. We need to attend Bible studies, Sunday schools, and any other avenue of teaching we can get to. Listen to King David in part of Psalm 119, verses 41 through 48. Let your mercies come also to me, O Lord, your salvation according to your word. So shall I have an answer for him who reproaches me, for I trust in your word. And take not the word of truth utterly out of my mouth, for I have hoped in your ordinances. So shall I keep your law continually forever and ever. and I will walk at liberty, for I seek your precepts. I will speak of your testimonies also before kings, and I will not be ashamed. And I will delight myself in your commandments, which I love. My hands also I will lift up to your commandments, which I love, and I will meditate on your statutes. If you read all of Psalm 119, it's very evident, and these precepts and the law is all speaking of the same thing, and that's his word. And what David is saying is, I can't get enough. I am going to live in accordance to your word. I will have answers for kings. I will have answers for those who reproach me. Your word is a treasure. And I am going to treasure your word. I'm going to read your word. I'm going to soak it in. That's all I'm going to be consumed with, is your word. Most important thing in life, your word. If we do not have a love for God's word, we will never be true servants of the Savior. It is impossible to know God apart from the Word of God. It is impossible to serve God apart from the Word of God. A servant must take rest when needed in order to focus. A servant must focus on teaching as it is his or her primary task. And a servant must focus on learning in order to be a qualified teacher. Let's pray.